I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, the flag.
There's like a pause, so I couldn't get it to come off.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Stop sharing my screen. Just give me a minute.
Using our imagination.
Yeah.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember Nelson?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Councilmember Page has been excused. So the first item is to approve the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Do we have a motion for the consent agenda?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the first item on the agenda is a resolution regarding landmark designation of the museum property. So Sherry Evans did all the work, put together the proposal to go to for the landmark designation and turned it into us and said she was ready to go. And so we have to approve this resolution in order for her to be able to submit it. She has to have the authority of the council to be able to submit it for a landmark designation. So is there any discussion?
I know that the museum has been waiting quite a while for this, and they're excited to get moving so that they can file for their grants that they need to run the museum a little better, you know, get more things done there. So I'm excited that we'll finally get this going.
Yeah, I did speak to the museum today. I was able to go in there and speak to the president, Keith Watson, and they said they are, again, excited for it as well. They do want to apply for some grants that are going to help them with their furnaces that is desperately needed. Those artifacts in the museum definitely need to be at a temperature that can stay consistent. And they were also looking forward to upgrading their cameras and their security system, which would be a great aspect to the museum and the surrounding areas. So I am very excited, looking forward to this to be passed for them.
So I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1356, authorizing the filing of an application with the King County Landmarks and Heritage Commission to designate the city museum as a landmark.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is a resolution regarding amending and extending the public defender contract. The public defender contract ran out in December, and we actually advertised the position, and the current public defender was the only one that applied, and so we had to amend the contract, and so it took us a little while to do that. We've still been operating with him, but they've been, you know, doing the public defending in court, but we just didn't have a contract. So we just need to approve the contract so they can continue working for us.
Okay, so I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1357, extending the and amending the contract for public defense services with O'Brien, Barton, and Hopkins PLLP.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda is a resolution adopting work plan to fulfill a Puget Sound Regional Council full certification requirements for the city's comprehensive plan. Ms. Kincaid.
I thank you, Mayor, Council members. So you have Agenda Bill AB 20032 this evening, and in that packet is a resolution number 2013-58 with two attachments. I'm going to give you a little background information. The comprehensive plan update, which is required every 7 years by the Washington State Growth Management Act statute, it was adopted in May of 2019. This update was actually due in 2015. It took us a while to get there. But the statute for the GMA requires in King County that it receive a certification from the Puget Sound Regional Council. That's the Metropolitan Planning Agency, and it needs to be consistent with regional plans. So when we sent our May 2019 adopted comprehensive plan to the Puget Sound Regional Council for certification, they partially certified it, and they have some things that they need us to address the full certification. The partial certification and the report that they gave us was positive, and that's one of your attachments. And that's the one that's a January 17 PSRC report and certification recommendation. And I included that in the resolution just for your benefit and for the public's benefit, see what they thought about the review of our comprehensive plan. So partial certification is fine because it allows us to be eligible for federal transportation funding, grant funding. We want, obviously, be fully certified. So this PSRC report, and particularly you're looking at what it contains is things that we must do now to get full certification and things that are a good idea to work towards. So I'm focusing on the pages 2 through 4 of that report is the things that we must do now. The PSRC is expecting us to fulfill these items by December 31st, the end of this year, which will be part of our every year if we want to do some annual amendments. The Growth Management Act allows that. That's at our discretion. So it's pretty minor, but what they wanted us to do in this resolution is to show a good faith effort and a commitment that the city is going to address these items on pages 2 through 4 of their report, and that we will attach or adopt a work plan in this resolution about the schedule and how we're going to get that done. And that is your second attachment, the memo that I've included with the actions and the dates for that.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Mm-hmm. The recommendation mentions a date of April 30th of this year, which is past. Do we need to revise anything with them, or do we get
mulligan
because of COVID?
They gave us until May 30th.
Okay.
They did give us an extension, and I think they've been very great to work with. I think if we were unable to fulfill even the May 30th, we could have more time, but we need to keep on our schedule.
Thank you.
So just to recap some of the conversation that we did have at the meeting for that, a lot of our focus was especially on how this could help us lay the groundwork for future work for the upcoming year. And that would include even a focus on things pertaining to housing and housing affordability, as well as what we could possibly be doing more in terms of State Route 169. And I'm sure both of those things would be of great interest to our community. So I was wondering if we could hear more about that as well for this council meeting.
Sure. At this for the 20, so again, every year we revisit our comprehensive plans, and our comprehensive plans are really the roadmap for the future, the 20-year big look. And so this resolution and my focus for the 2020 annual amendments are to actually get the plan certified and not to take on more than I can manage. So as in terms of the housing affordability, you at your last meeting, you allowed the mayor to authorize and sign a grant for $50,000 from the Department of Commerce for a housing action plan That housing action plan was, grant application was written to respond to this future work that the Puget Sound Regional Council put into this report, to look at inventories, to look at our development regulations, goals and policies in the comp plan for, you know, things that we may be able to do better in this city to allow for broader options for affordable housing for, or for housing for all segments of the population. So while I would not, we will probably not be far enough along in that study to put that into the 2020 annual amendment, I would anticipate that you will be seeing that in the 2021, those changes.
Okay.
The SR 169 widening, or the XR 169 comments from the PSRC were just that we had some language in our plan that was incorrect, inaccurate. They want us to fix it. We mentioned that that it won, there was a draft plan along the corridor from the DOT at one time that mentioned widening SR 169, and they the PSRC representative said that plan was never finished, it wasn't adopted, and we needed to remove that language because that is not on the table right now. So fair enough, we want our plan to be accurate. And then the other thing that we failed to mention is the significance of the Highway 69 as being a significant statewide transportation corridor. So we really just need to, at least in 2020's amendment, is correct the errors that we made. And so, and then the other thing that is really important that will be sort of a heavy lift in this round of amendments to comply with the PSRC is the fact that our comprehensive plan doesn't, in their mind, doesn't have a good contingency plan for paying for transportation improvements. Because we have a developer agreement, we're leaning heavily on the developer, the master plan developer to pay for needed transportation improvements that are directly the impact of that additional development. We put a lot of, we leaned into that pretty heavy as that's the way that we anticipate being able to meet the necessary improvements that growth is going to bring about, but their point is, well, you know, what's your contingency plan? What if that doesn't happen? How are you going to manage the congestion and the improvements that are needed now? So, and again, those are wonderful comments, and those are things that will be, that is something we will be working on this year.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Is there a, does the state have a plan for how you get a highway designated a highway of significance? And is that something we can leverage, or we kind of like have to get with Maple Valley and Enumclaw and Renton and kind of lobby? How does that work?
I do not have the answer to that. I don't know. That would be something worth exploring. I know that there are there's several regional transportation boards, and I just don't have an answer for you about how that works. I don't really know.
But okay. It'd be well, it's something we can look into, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe TIB would know, or maybe
right.
The council itself would know, right? The regional council.
So. Right. And in the PSRC's report, they gave some links to for me to start following up on my research about that very thing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great.
Right. Well, I make a motion then to adopt resolution number 20-1358, adopting a work plan for full certification by the Puget Sound Regional Council of the updated City of Black Diamond Comprehensive Plan for the proposed work plan.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Deedy?
Also, if I'm correct, Barb, there was a few more public comment periods added to that schedule, correct?
No, the schedule, and thank you for bringing that up. So the schedule is really totally consistent with what we have in our ordinance for comprehensive plan amendment as in regards to the public participation. The okay. steps that I have added are additional steps that the Puget Sound Regional Council is requiring for us to send them things early for them to comment back.
That's right. Okay, thank you.
Attorney Linehan would like to make a comment.
So Councilmember Wisnowski, in response to your question, I think this is probably only a partial answer. But the short answer is that the highways of statewide significance are declared by legislative resolution. So the state legislature determines what roads go on that list. What I don't know is the process for if there's a way to you know, petition to add a highway or otherwise get a new route listed, but that list is determined by the legislature.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So we have a motion and a second, is that correct?
Yes.
So any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a ordinance amending the Black Diamond Municipal Code 10-10-010 to provide for handicap parking on Southeast 312th Street. Mr. Botch.
Well, greetings all. I'm gonna share a, if I can share my screen. Are we set up for that?
You should be.
Okay, just a moment. First, I'd like to bring up the section of code.
Can you up the volume?
So this is our current code, and you can see that this doesn't allow any parking on 312 whatsoever. Parking restrictions, parking vehicles both sides, 312 from its intersection with Lake Sawyer, east 1,600 feet to its terminus at the gate to the city park property shall be prohibited. You recently approved a, I'm gonna bring up another picture here. Let's see. Have to increase my, I've got little pictures here. Where's the rest of my screen?
I think you have to get out of this one to put the next one on, Seth.
Well, I know, but I can stop this share. Okay, that helped, thank you. So bringing up the next one. Almost there. So I think you can see this, aerial photo. Okay, good. Thank you.
We can see it.
So this this is the existing gravel path, and it winds out to the park, and then there is a steep portion here. This is about 1,900 to 2,000 feet. From the parking lot to the gate. We're paving this section of roadway this summer. And we brought that resolution for the approval of that contract to you a couple weeks ago. Right. So in the Public Works Committee meeting, the issue was raised that we should look into putting a handicap parking spot here. We found a place right at the gate where we could fit a van parking size space that would meet the slope requirements, width requirements. And when we're paving, we can pave it for a small additional cost. But as also looking into that, remembered that this area had a policy adopted where we couldn't, no one could park there. So that's why I'm bringing this forward to you all is, should we allow one parking spot for handicapped to get to this area here? So you can see that the primary area that that is of attraction to people is this area here with some nice lake frontage, some benches, you can get out to the water, nice views up the lake. It's a natural area that people enjoy walking around. So I think, and this is on an anecdote, I've heard of people that walk this street that there is an elderly couple that in violation of the parking will often park here along the street. And then because the elderly gentleman can't walk very far and he likes to walk down here and sit by the lake. So it seems to me that it's the right thing to do. We've had several comments that they want time to, that citizens want time to speak to the issue. I'm not sure why they didn't describe their concern or the impact to them as residents along 312 for this one parking spot here. So they were aware that this was happening, and but did not provide you much information to know why it was an issue. So I think you have the, there isn't a public hearing requirement for this. So if you feel like you know enough about the issue, I think you can act on this if you would like to tonight. Remember 312th is a public street, providing this one roadside handicap parking place serves a good public purpose. Also, the expense is low. And when we are looking at brand new projects or reconstruction projects, we are required by law to new buildings, new roadway construction, not maintenance projects. But new roadway construction has to meet ADA compliance. Mm-hmm. But we also want to be aware of where we have gaps in serving disabled people. And when we have opportunities, it seems like the right thing to do. Now, as far as timing, the construction portion of this is moving forward. We can't delay the project. We are going to widen the area right before the gate, mm-hmm. at the right level. We're going to do that anyway. I think it helps people that come to a dead end road. It'll provide additional space for them to turn around. But it will be an illegal parking spot unless you desire to change it. So there's no I don't think there's any urgency that you have to do it tonight, but I also don't, I don't see where, I've been trying to think of an adverse impact that would be significant enough to overcome the benefit of this proposal. So the only thing that really came out in the comments was that it was going to affect their property values. I don't understand how that could be, but one thing I would add to that is that the paving of the road is likely to increase the property values much more than the adverse impact of one handicap parking spot. So with that, I just leave it to you, Council.
Council Member Oglesby.
Yes, I did get a chance earlier, just a few hours before meeting, to go down 312th Street and look at where you guys were indicating the overlay and the handicap area. And I was able to go into the public parking area that a lot of the residents shared that we just opened a public area. I didn't see any handicap signs in that public parking gravel area that indicate a handicap spot. My question would be, when it comes to state parks and regional parks and city parks, what is our obligation or for ADA compliance? Is that something that we have to do when it comes to city parks and regional parks? Do you have to have an ADA compliance and be in compliance?
Seth?
I would like to refer that to our attorney. I'm sure he's had to deal with ADA claims that they're not, someone that's handicapped in some form or fashion is not being served. Right. So I guess that seems to me is more like a legal question.
And Dave, do you have any input on that?
I'm just firing up the video again. So the Americans with Disabilities Act has somewhat of a different application to public entities than private entities, but very much of the same obligations apply. So without going into too great a detail here in a public meeting about the city's potential liability exposure, I'm certainly happy to answer more questions offline. But it is something that I think some cities have struggled with. Some cities have received claims relating to access for persons of limited mobility. They can be expensive to fix, they can be expensive to litigate. So any opportunities that a city can take to kind of minimize exposure is always a good public service, you know, barring some prohibitive cost, you know, where you would have to really weigh the cost of fixing an issue versus whatever limited benefits it might provide. In this case, it seems like a pretty low cost opportunity to expand mobility and probably minimize the city's exposure. So,
Council Member Wisnowski.
Do we have a longer term plan for additional parking at that gate area, or maybe down there a little bit closer to the park area that would meet this need? Or what's the long term plan? Because I'm trying to figure out if the short term plan works into the long term plan and how we can both make the property owners happy as well as provide for handicap access.
Well, there isn't one, and that further development of the park would need to go through park planning and adoption of our update of our park plan.
And Barbara plans on doing that, or she had planned on doing it this year. Hopefully she still plans on doing it this year, but the plan was to work on our park plan, but until we do that, there would be no expansion or changes in the park.
Okay.
Barbara?
Yes, we still plan on doing the park plan this year, or at least starting it. We're behind schedule, you know, but those ADA requirements and accessibility would be a very important part if you remember when we start doing the, before we actually get into the park plan itself, we're going to be doing a lot of public participation and have some input about what's needed, where is it needed, who is underserved by our parks, and I would hope then we could get a clear picture of that long-range plan and need.
Council Member Didi?
So I did attend that Public Works Committee meeting and approved moving this onto the council discussion. The parking lot has no designated handicap stall. And if it did have a handicap stall parking spot up there, the trail itself is not handicap accessible. So you can have it up there, but trail that's not accessible. It's like in a parking spot for a handicapped person and then they have upstairs. If they can't walk up the stairs, it's no use.
Right.
So having a handicapped stall in the regional parking lot does not give adequate access to the park. The parking spot on 312th will solve that issue and give adequate parking and access to citizens and visitors with disabilities. Let's see. So for all our residents and visitors to enjoy the parking, to enjoy the park without obstacles, the city of Black Diamond needs to add a handicap stall off of 312th. I have a little bit of written down. So we did receive 4 emails from citizens who live along 312th. That was Mrs. Hofig, Mrs. Running, and Mr. and Mrs. Miller. And they did speak of issues concerning their property value, more people parking along 312th, no notice to the residents, no one is following the code now and parking along 312th. I haven't received any complaints about 312th in years. So as a council member, I wouldn't know that there's issues on 312th. And even in the safety committee meetings, I hadn't heard any issues about that. So maybe something the council could do is, you know, just maybe ask our police department, just do a more turns down 312th. And then if people are parked down there, you know, to issue tickets and hope to alleviate some of that people parking along 312th. So, you know, just, I did call my cousin who is a disability rights lawyer, Sean Marinko, and talked to him a little bit about this. And so he helped me understand the codes around Washington State and, you know, understand the parking up on the main place where everybody parks, and then the trail itself down to the park. And if parking, you have a stall up on top, but the trail is still not accessible, then those don't really meet the needs of your disability residents and visitors. So to alleviate that and to make it easier for people that have that disability, it would be wise of us as a citizen, as a city, to put that spot in on 312th and give everybody that access to that park so they can enjoy it just as much as everybody else. So I would recommend that we pass this tonight. I don't think this is really a debate. I don't think that, you know, citizens on 312th that live off of there can sway us to say, no, we're not going to put one, because I think the city has opened it up and said we lack that parking and we lack that accessibility, that I think that we need to move forward and put this in.
Council Member De Leon.
Yeah, thank you. So I know that at least this was a conversation I was able to have with Seth a few days before this meeting. And I guess my main thoughts are right now are that I'm really wanting to move forward with providing more accessibility to the park I think it's definitely a good first start to at least add some parking that would suggest that more of our residents and more visitors could be part of this park. I think with that said, having also read these emails as well, and also now hearing a little bit of what Barb said just now tonight, is I'd be interested in seeing what we could do to just get more of that, resident input, as well as just having an opportunity for them to, you know, at least, voice those concerns in more than an email, and then have us as a city be able to let them know what kind of the intent was behind that, what the project would look like. Because at least from what I read from those emails, it was more of just a, we're just moving forward with this. We're just going to put in this parking lot. And I think there's just this sense of, like, for lack of a better word right now, maybe they felt a little blindsided. And I think before we move forward with it, it would probably be in good faith to have an opportunity to dialogue with those residents a little bit more before moving forward. Because I think once people understand kind of what we just said tonight about how it's about accessibility, it's about ADA, and it's about possibly the fact this could even help with property values, or that maybe we could do more patrols on these streets. I think once people hear that more, and hear it more as possibly part of that public parks plan input, or a part of that kind of maybe program, that we could possibly then move forward with it. So I am wanting to move forward with that parking, but I think the questions that the residents raised suggest to me that maybe there's a way to more cohesively move forward on it in a way that does allow for more public input and more public education on why we're doing this.
What time do you have?
Councilmember Nelson.
No, I think I've driven down there a couple of times since I've heard a couple of the neighbors. It's definitely needed. I mean, people need to get down to this park. It's a great park. One recommendation I'd have in doing it is in signage, make sure it says during park hours, or give hours so people just camp out down there and not leave, and give the police a chance to make sure that we're not getting squatters that park down there in that area.
Councilmember Stout.
I know earlier today you probably all saw my email asking to have this item removed from the agenda. Excuse me. Mostly because I'm frustrated with this form of meeting remotely when we don't have public comment. And it was a little bit of a hot button for the people who live along 312th. And I think they did get to have their say through email. Perhaps they didn't get to make a formal presentation that they would like to have made. I will say that having the street paved in front of your house is a real advantage, and usually people are so grateful for that. It eliminates the possibility of having, you know, potholes that grow or need to be repaired on a regular basis. There was some discussion about the fact that maybe no parking signs were missing on that road, but when I drove down there, if there are any missing, it's only one or two. There are a lot of no parking signs along that road. It does look like people have pulled off on the shoulder there to park, but it doesn't look like that's happening very close to the gate that has access to the park. It looks like maybe people are parking just kind of across the street from the homes there. If they're parking way down there and then walking way down to the street, that's kind of a long hike. One other thing that might, maybe it's kind of related, but a little bit different. When I go up into the Lake Sawyer Regional Park parking lot, I don't know if I'm just not a visual person or what, but I can't figure out how I'm supposed to park in that parking lot. There are these big logs just kind of laid out there askew. Am I supposed to park next to the log? Am I supposed to back into the log? Am I supposed to be at an angle? I don't know where I'm supposed to go. So hopefully when I go, there aren't very many other people there, and I just stick my car wherever it makes sense and hope I don't get blocked in.
So maybe that parking lot needs to be upgraded a little bit. I believe the restroom that we have there, the portable restroom, is a handicap type restroom. It's a little bit of a bigger one. So that's a good thing that people could use that outdoor restroom, which every time I've been there, it's been very, very clean. I think we do a good job of keeping a contract to keep it nice and clean there. And then a couple of other things. This is not really this parking space, and it's not a parking lot. It's one parking space at the end of 312th on the right-hand side there. Would not really allow access to every handicapped person. I would not take a wheelchair down that path. It's really steep. And if it was damp or muddy, that could be a slip and slide, you know, roller coaster thing there. But if there are people who are ambulatory but can't walk very far, it would give really nice access to the park. I agree with Councilmember De Leon that, or someone said, perhaps some increased enforcement, maybe that was you, Councilmember Didi, that we could ask our police department, especially once the road is paved, it's a little bit more of an attractive nuisance to have people drive down there. Perhaps we could have a little more parking enforcement down there. And I don't know, I didn't notice when I went there, does that road say dead end or no outlet at the beginning?
If I remember right, I just drove it down today. I wanna say it does say dead end, but I can't be for sure on that. Can Seth, do you have confirmation on that?
I don't know if it does, because there are roads that loop to the north, although they're private. I can check on that here quickly. I'll go to Google Maps and check it out. It
might be a good thing to have that designation so that there's not a lot of extra traffic going down there. If people are going down the road, they really are going down to stop and park there on that one spot for a disabled person. I guess we wouldn't want to encourage a lot of just traffic up and down that road. So Seth, you said that this project will widen the road a little bit?
No, just at the gate.
Oh, just at the gate. It widen it, bump it out a little bit in for the parking space.
Right.
And then a little bit more for the turnaround there.
Well, unless you open it up for handicap parking, it will assist in people turning around.
Okay. Those are all the comments about that. Thank you.
Councilmember De Leon.
Sure. And I think one more thing to also add to that as we're kind of discussing this is I do believe that it would be a really good opportunity to kind of loop in more people in this conversation. Not again, because I don't think it's a good idea to increase accessibility of the park, but just get more public buy-in on that. One part that I was thinking about is reaching out also to the Lake Sawyer Parks Foundation and seeing what other projects are also being included at that time at the park, and how possibly something as seemingly simple as adding a parking space might work with the overall goals that that particular group has in mind. I think that could be something we could look into. And I think that's where I'm getting to the point more where I want to move forward with something like adding this parking space. But again, it also comes into an opportunity for more cohesiveness in a greater parks plan. So if I'm understanding this part of what we were talking about tonight. So I agree with what Councilmember Stout just said. And I would just echo also that there could be an opportunity for including the Parks Foundation in with this.
The Parks Foundation already recommended that we put that spot in a long time ago. So Great. We were just responding to them wanting to have an ADA spot at the gate so that somebody could actually access the park that maybe was, challenged, not necessarily in a wheelchair, but a walker, or, had trouble breathing and couldn't walk very far. I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of disabilities that prevent mm-hmm. people from being able to go down that very, very steep hill that's almost a half a mile long. So mm-hmm. The Parks Foundation had already suggested that Let's see, Council Member Nelson.
Yeah.
Who do you want to speak?
Council Member Nelson, didn't you raise your hand? Okay, Council Member Deedy.
Back to the parking issue that's happening on 312. Maybe Seth, maybe we could put a sign up that says at the very beginning, no access, you know, no parking access for the park or something. So people, before they turn right there, don't assume that that's where they're supposed to turn to park for the for access. That they're supposed to just go a little further south and get on that gravel road up to the parking area. And then one thing that we did talk about in the Public Works Committee meeting was turning that sign, purchasing another sign so on both sides, so when you're driving past it, you see it right away instead of off to your left. If you happen to look that way, you'll see it straight on. So maybe once we get a new sign for that area, it'll also help with people finding the parking lot for the park and alleviating maybe some of that traffic going down that street of 312.
Seth, Mr. Botch.
So I just checked on Google Maps. There is a dead end sign on the street out by Lake Sawyer Road. Yes, we will put bigger signs that are turned north and south. Just for readability going along the road and identifying how to get to the park. So that should help too.
Councilmember Oglesby.
So could I bring up one?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, one more thing was the, as far as the, maintenance did check on the signs and they found that there were a couple missing and they have put sandwich boards that say no parking along the side of the road where until we get some, we need to order some more no parking signs.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yeah, you're right, Seth. When I did drive down there today, I did see your sandwich board signs placed there indicating where the sign was missing. I'm in favor of this. I feel this is a very important aspect to our regional parks, our city parks, to have ADA compliance and allowing everybody in our city and residents being more welcoming in our parks and areas that allows everybody to use those facilities. So I'm in favor of this. I feel I don't see harm. I feel like residents that have chosen to live on 312 have to understand that you are choosing to live on a lake that's a public lake. You are choosing to live on a street that has access to the city, to the regional parks. I mean, it's a gamble that you take when you purchase property or houses around certain areas. But with that said, I'm in favor of this. I feel it's important to our residents and welcoming to our community to make sure our parks and our areas are welcoming to everybody, disabilities, ADAs, whoever it might be that they use. And if it's a small parking spot, not a parking lot, like some of the emails say that we're gonna put in there, then I'm in favor for it. So I'd like to make a motion to adopt ordinance number 20-1141, amending Black Diamond Municipal Code 10.10.010 to provide the handicap parking on Southeast 312th Street.
Second.
So is there any further discussion? Councilmember Wisnowski?
Yeah, so this is more of a general code thing. Do we have other locations that we call out specifically in code for no parking? I would think that our code should be a little more concise and just say, either not call out specific places and just reference parking by signage, or I'm just wondering if we can make our code more concise and more transparent by you know, some places being called out in code, some places not being called out in code.
Mr. Botcher?
Well, there are, an example is along State Route 169. It's illegal to park if your car is out into the travel way of the roadway. So
Right, but do we call that out specifically? What,
no, you don't need to. You don't need to. If
right, that's my point.
It's already, laws that you don't. If there isn't a legal spot where you can't get your car off of the side of the, out of the travel way, you can't park there. You don't need a sign to say no parking there. That's in state statute that you don't have to sign it as no parking. You can't park in the middle of the street or partway out into the street.
So since we already have signage there, do we need this in the code? It's just more about code cleanup. I support moving forward with this. I think we need to provide ADA access to all of our parks. I think that's very important, right? Well, as someone who has a mom who's, you know, who's affected by ADA regulations, it's and has had to help her through lots of places that aren't ADA capable. Definitely something we should move forward with. I'm just wondering from a code cleanup kind of point of view, right? If we have other places where we specifically call out the location in our code, I don't remember seeing any, but maybe what we should do is instead of changing the code to specifically call it handicap parking, just removing the part of the code that calls it out and somewhere in our code say, you know, our parking is enforced by signage or signage and law, DOT, that, you know what I'm trying to get at.
Mr. Linehan.
Yes. So Councilor Wisnowski, our code does have a chapter devoted to parking restrictions.
Yeah.
It's pretty bare bones. There isn't much in it right now, but this, we do have this currently 312th Street called out specifically.
Right.
So, you know, if this parking place is going to be allowed, we have to fix that. I think your point is well taken that some of these items that are kind of built in various points of our code are probably a little bit too much in the weeds to be an ordinance that has to be a council action every time it changes. But we do have things like speed limits that are adopted through local code. There are multiple roadway access and parking and various types of restrictions that are implemented through local code. And that's fairly typical for most cities. We can certainly look at a way for maybe trying to streamline it a bit so it's not quite such a production to change something like this.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if we're going to be changing the code anyway, right, for this, right, maybe we should change it in a way that's the most transparent and easy for people to understand and find.
Councilmember Deedy?
So I'd say that you have good points there, Chris, that maybe it goes into a committee and that committee can look at that ordinance and then revamp it a little bit. You know, one thing we don't want is it to say, you know, our ordinance, you know, for parking is followed by the signs. Otherwise, you're going to have signs everywhere. You know, I mean, people park on Baker Street and you can't park on Baker Street. You know, you have to go around them into the other lane to get around.
But we could call that out in the code is what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Call it out where, like Seth was saying, right, state regulations don't allow, or right. I'm just saying this is the only spot in our code that is called out specific to the name of the street.
Right.
And that maybe we can move forward with this, make some changes, but when we're making changes, we can clean it up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Ms. Kincaid?
I also just want to bring back into the discussion that it's not this isn't just a discussion about parking regulations. It's talking about accessibility for people with disabilities. And we have adopted complete streets ordinance, which complete streets ordinances are a very good way to start if you want to look at accessibility for people with disabilities, not just in parking, but in general, overall in our streets and sidewalks and the ability and accessibility for people with disabilities.
I agree.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
One more comment, Mayor, if I may. I would think before we do any kind of code revision on a larger scale to streamline or eliminate or add important things, I think we'd want to have, like Councilmember Deedy said, maybe a committee meeting where our police chief and others who are actually involved in the enforcement of these things can weigh in and help give us better ideas for what would be helpful.
Right.
Council Member De Leon.
So to all those points, I know that we did do a few revisions of some parking codes recently, a few months ago. So I would be curious to see what this update would look like in light of the fact that we did do fairly good overhaul of some of the local streets that did need some updates in terms of parking. I am certainly still interested in moving forward tonight, but this does, my main comments for this really just echo how important it is to, I think, or how much this is informing us to move forward on both making sure that we're continuing to have these conversations about overall what does ADA compliance look like for our city, especially with some of these kind of smaller, more narrow roads, but also what it looks like to have at least residents understand that these projects are going forward and the nature of them, when they'll be happening. Because again, I think that the emails that were spurring us to have this more of a robust conversation that maybe it would have been otherwise was more speaking to the fact that I just think that they weren't as aware of the scope of the project and the sequence and other things related. So again, I think it's about how do we move forward cohesively with ADA compliance? How do we also make sure that we're continuing to engage residents on these upcoming programs, having more opportunities to speak, or at least to understand the project.
Councilmember Oglesby.
I was just gonna say, I see that the police chief is listening in, and I just wanna say, hey, let's put that on the memo for our next safety committee to talk about, which I see Chris and Nelson are in agreement. So let's get that on our next safety committee and talk about that.
Okay, so Councilmember Wisnowski.
Maybe we could have Seth follow up with the property owners that did send in comments to clarify that it's a spot, not a lot, and then it's pretty much part of the overall paving project. And then he could make sure that they know the timelines and that, you know, we're not building a highway, we're building a parking spot for ADA, and maybe that would help clarify.
I'll work with Seth tomorrow to do that.
Awesome, thank you.
As a couple of the people have asked to be responded to, and I don't see that any of them are at the meeting today. So we have a motion and a second. And raise your hands if all in favor. Raise your hands. And opposed, I guess the motion carries. Okay, so. It's time for department reports. Do we have anybody with a department report? Okay, I attended quite a few Zoom meetings this week. I think there was two of them that were really interesting. The skateboard, South County Area Transportation, three King County boards, one on the seashore and the other one's east side. So the seashore one's along the Sound, and the east side one is north of Renton, and then South County Area Transportation is south of Renton. So I've been on the board for about 9 years, and so they decided to combine them because it's the first meeting they've had since February, and there was 75 people on a Zoom meeting. So yeah. They had 25 people on a page, and you had to flip through the pages, so it was three pages to see all of the people that had attended the meeting. Now, Tammy's my alternate at the skateboard and has been for most of the time, and so she was there. But the whole thing was about King County Metro and the bus service, and we don't have a lot of bus service here, and so I didn't really have much to add to the conversation. But they were talking about what it was going to look like when they opened up, and that right now weekend bus service is normal, that they, in order to have the spacing and everything, they're running the normal bus service that they had before the coronavirus. And the other ones, they're looking at how to do the spacing on the buses once they open up for regular transportation again, and how much money they're going to lose, which was lots, and not charging anything so that there'd be no contact with the bus driver and they have to go in the back door. So it was an interesting meeting having that many people there, but there wasn't a lot of communication between everybody because it was just a presentation on King County Metro. And then there was a mayor's meeting talking about what other mayors, when they were going to open up and what it would look like and when they were going to open up the city to business. And it seems like most of them are not going to open up and have everybody come back to work, just a few people at a time, and maybe not till after the third week in June that maybe they would open up a portion for appointment only, for probably permitting would be one of them, or City Hall for making payments. So anyway, we're in the process of discussing that now, but it's something that we shared with all the other South End mayors. So anyway, that's the end of my report. So now I just have to see who's first today. Let's see, Councilmember Wisnowski.
Let's see, we had the Finance Committee meeting last week. I attended the cruise in Enumclaw. That was a big hit for the city of Enumclaw. They had a huge turnout. That was really good. I also understand that I think tomorrow, Ten Trails is having a kind of a food truck rally from 4 to 7, which is a great way to support some local small businesses. We know they all need our help right now. And on that note, I would highly recommend that if you can, you go out and support our local small businesses. They are struggling during this time, just like many others are. Try to, maybe buy a little extra from EJ's, or go to the bakery or something a little extra than you normally do, because you know this is our friends and neighbors' livelihood, and we'd really like to help them out in this time because it's a tough time for a lot of people. I think that's about it.
Councilmember Stout.
I attended the Public Works Committee meeting last Tuesday. On Wednesday, and these are all Zoom or some form thereof, I attended the Sound Cities Association Public Issues Committee. We took emergency action at that meeting to endorse an inclusiveness statement, which was specifically related to COVID-19. Rejecting discrimination, especially of Asian, Pacific Islander, and various other racial groups who have been targeted because of COVID-19 irrationally. But we can only take emergency action at that meeting because we don't have any attendance. And so the reason it was deemed an emergency is because the final part of that statement was, if you feel threatened or that you have been discriminated against or you're very concerned, call 911 or two other phone numbers that could get a person assistance. And the point that you're recommending people call 911 in those situations, that was considered that obviously that's an emergency. So that's why we passed that without having it go through a typical process. But you can all read that letter on the Sound Cities Association website. You've probably received it by email from Deanna Dawson, as she sends out her information almost, well, 3 times a week. I also attended the Finance Committee meeting. There have been a few citizen-related issues that have come up this week. Once again, there has been wrong way driving on Park Street. And luckily that truck that went up the hill the wrong way did not get high centered and stuck and have to be towed out. It was able to drive out itself. But still, I think the signage there is not enough to alert drivers that you aren't gonna be able to get out of that road. If you start heading down that road, you're stuck unless you're a very talented semi-truck driver who can back up and turn around, which, you know, many could, but some can't. And I think we still need to address the signage on that road. It's not working. I have personally seen many cars. Almost every time I'm out there, I'm like, whoop, there goes another one driving the wrong way on that street. Don't don't go there. We need more signs to make it more obvious. We also had some questions about park closure clarification. Mayor, I sent you a question about that. The residents don't seem to understand that our parks are still closed, and somehow it seems like we need more clarification. I've seen the signs moved away from the entrances and families in the parks. I've seen, you know, people on Facebook saying, how come we can't use the skate park? Or I think it's open now. So people don't really understand that the parks are still closed. And if we're going to change that, then it needs to get out to the city's the residents. We had an email this afternoon from a friend of ours, Mr. Thomas, who, once again, we've heard from him before about speeding and reckless driving on Roberts Drive. And I can testify to that. When I slow down and put on my turn signal to drive off of Roberts Drive onto Morgan to head toward my neighborhood, people just can't stand the fact that I slowed down, and they will whip around me. It's really dangerous. And if I don't, you know, slam on my accelerator and start going 35, the second that speed limit changes, they're passing. And so I did forward that to Chief Kiblinger, but I think there needs to be enforcement. Kids at school, lots of people out walking. The weather's going to get better. It's only going to increase. And we need to not have an accident, especially a pedestrian accident on Roberts Drive. And I wrote a letter to the governor this week, not as a member, just a regular citizen, telling him what I think of what's going on with the phases of opening the state. And they're not my council member views. I don't speak for the council, and I made that clear. And I did send those on to Mark Mullett and Bill Ramos and Lisa Callen, just as a citizen, not as a council member. I forwarded that to the mayor, just so she'll know where my head is as a citizen. I think we all need to be careful, and we need to be thinking about what kind of a position we are going to take as council members as the changes come forward in our state, in our area. So what's it going to look like as we move out of the, quote, stay-at-home order that we've been under since March? And I just wanted to let you know that I did that as a, you know, as a citizen, that I emailed. And I received responses from the governor's office and from Mark Mullett. So, you know, somebody read my letter. And that is the end of my report. Thank you.
So I will tell you that we're opening the parks tomorrow. They have taken the signs and the tape and everything, and we've just decided that we're not enforcing it. We're going to take everything down, and the parks will be open tomorrow. And we've already posted it to the website. It's suggesting social distancing and try to respect everybody's space. But we've just decided it's just a big hassle. The weather's nice. People are going to the parks anyway. And since we're not enforcing it, they're going to be open tomorrow. So
then I guess all my ranting raving was a moot point.
On the website. So, Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. So I was also able to attend the planning committee a few days ago, and I think that was a really good discussion that we started in terms of just how we're going to kick off that next phase in our growth, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to be doing in the months ahead. I was able to talk more, as I mentioned earlier, with Seth about some of these upcoming projects and what was discussed during the last committee meeting, and I feel like there's also we're getting the ball rolling a lot on those plans for how it would look like to be more ADA compliant. We already talked about a lot, so no need to go into that any further. But with that in mind, also, I just wanted to send another congratulations again to Ruby for the birth of her baby, I believe Scarlet Rose. So that's a little bit of good news, I guess, in our city, and congrats again. Condolences, though, to those who did lose their lives at the Gorge this last week. The weather is getting nicer and people are anxious to get outside, but it's a very clear indication that we do need to make sure we're adhering to a lot every aspect of safety, not only just in regard to the social distancing and making sure that we're using proper protective equipment, but also just the standard, making sure that you're keeping yourself safe when the, you know, in terms of cold water, in terms of watching out for falling and slips and other just regular natural occurrences. So condolences then all around. Otherwise, I think one thing to also point out in all this is hearkening back also to our conversation on State Route 169. I am looking forward to what we can do to kind of move forward on speaking more with our legislators on how we could prioritize 169. I know that was something we were talking about a little bit, including in January and February. I would love to continue that conversation just so we can get more work done in prioritizing that road. It's going to be tough with the budget shortfalls, but I think that does need to happen, and that ties back in earlier with our conversation on the comprehensive plans. Otherwise, I'll just end also by hearing that I'm glad to hear that the SEA is moving forward with that emergency proclamation. It's sad with the circumstances that it even had to be addressed, that there is that rise in hate and discrimination, especially against our Asian American community members. But again, I'm really glad that that action was taken, and thank you also for your leadership on that, Councilmember Stout. That's the end of my report for now, and see you all next time.
Councilmember Nelson.
First off, driving down 288 is really cool right now. They've paved it. It's not you're not four-wheeling it through the roads. I've gone to work twice and actually not spilt my coffee, so it feels really good to have that road paved. I've not done much. I've met with via phone the mayor of Covington, the mayor of Maple Valley, to see how things are going. Sidebar about Covington mayor, his house is getting fixed. They're in a rental house. They got, I think the inspector came in today or yesterday to approve to get it finished. Since his house burned down, his kids are not killing each other, as he put it. So they got a house they're living in right now, so a rental. So, and then I've met a lot of people. I started walking. I've met a lot of residents out walking. Thank you for opening the park just for the sake of, if you go to the Lake Sawyer boat launch area, there's two families almost every night, definitely social distancing, fishing, and haven't caught a single thing. But for the past four nights, they've been there trying with their kids. And it was fun to watch. And it's great to know that they're not going to be, you know, penalized for that. As well as just the weather's getting nicer. And people in our community are awesome. I've gone down multiple roads and roads I haven't gone down before and walking and met. It's just some great people that some I've known, some I haven't known. I just encourage you guys to get out there. Just as they walk by, say hi and introduce yourself. You know, there's a lot of strange people that I've never met before that don't live in our neighborhood that seem to be walking down our streets. I met a guy yesterday who lives kind of by Druid's Glen, but he was walking down my road. Great guy. We saw the same bear the other day when I was walking down the road. So just stay safe, be encouraged, and thanks for opening the parks, because those guys fishing, they're hoping to catch a fish. I'm done.
Councilmember Deedy.
All right, so I did attend the skateboard meeting, as Mayor Benson stated. Also attended the Public Works meeting and the Community Development meeting. On Park Street, I saw your email, Councilmember Stout, and I replied to the mayor and everybody else. I left out all you other council members. Just that I think the signage right by Park Street and 169 is good. It's just that people aren't obeying the signs, just like on 312, people aren't obeying the signs. I think also to alleviate some of that semi-traffic, which I just don't understand, down Second Avenue and down Railroad Avenue and Park Street, is maybe we could put up a sign at the beginning of Baker and Second Avenue stating, you know, no semis or no tonnage, you know, weight like we have on Morgan Street. And then do the same on 169 and Railroad Avenue so that they know that there's no, it's a narrow road, there's no backing up. I can totally see how that semi could not back up. And the skateboard park has been busy every time I've gone by when it's not raining. So if there was cars parked in there, I can totally see how he couldn't go into that area there and try to turn around in the grass. So I get why he went up the hill, just because I didn't see any other way for him to get out. Thankfully, when cars do go up that hill, you still have to stop because it's a one-way. One car up that hill, you're not going to get down that. You're going to wait for that car to get out. But I just, you know, until, you know, a police officer or somebody sees that they're coming out and then, you know, gives them a warning or a ticket to say, hey, you're not supposed to go up this way. This is a one way. I think then people will start talking and then saying, hey, you know, the police are enforcing it. So I think, you know, just some more signage at the beginning of Railroad and Park and or Railroad and 169 and Second and Baker would help alleviate some of that nuisance traffic that those big semis coming down. So that's all.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you. I did attend the Zoom meeting for the planning committee with DeLeon and Didi earlier this week, where we had a large conversation about some of the items on our meeting this evening. Thank you, Barb. Other than that, just been working. I'm getting my shop ready to open up. I would support and encourage the council and the city of Black Diamond to follow in the footsteps of Bonnie Lake and Sumner Mayor and even the Enumclaw Mayor to encourage smaller businesses to open up sooner than later. My personal opinion is that smaller businesses in our community and other communities can be safe and follow protocol as large companies like Costco, Safeway, and Fred Meyer's. I think it's very critical that these small businesses open up sooner, being that they do provide for their families. They feed their, you know, they pay their bills. So I would encourage or want to open up the conversation to the council and the city of Black Diamond, how we can support or even write a letter to Governor Inslee saying that, yes, you know, our small businesses are important. They can follow protocol. They can limit customers into their shops and provide safe service to those customers along and building economic and support to their businesses and be able to provide for their families. I'm very passionate about this, being a small business owner myself, where I have not been able to open my doors yet. I'm hoping the city of Enumclaw and the mayor and the city council there will support decisions to allow us to open up sooner. But with that said, I do support and I would like to see what we can do in the city of Black Diamond to help the smaller business. We don't have very many, and the businesses that are open because we don't have very many small businesses or many businesses in general, but I'd like to see all our businesses open up sooner than we can. And that's my report and my feelings.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
He gave his report.
I went first.
Oh, okay. We're done.
Yes.
Sorry. Here. Councilmember Didi.
So, did I see right, and maybe you can clarify, did the Labor Day committee decide to cancel Labor Day this year?
They decided to cancel Labor Day, but now they were going to have a parade that they were going to go around and honor the heroes that were in nursing and police and fire. And So they've been exchanging emails all day today, so I really am not sure what they're doing. They've kind of changed. They had a meeting last night, and now they're kind of changing the direction they were going, and so I don't know if they're going to have the parade or not. They had originally asked me to get a hold of the fire department and the police department to set up a meeting, but now it sounds like that they can't figure out how to make that parade. It would be a parade just driving around town. They're not going to have a parade per se. They're not going to have it permitted. But basically, they're still kind of talking about maybe having a barbecue or something on Monday with or some kids activities. But I think it's still up in the air.
Okay.
So I don't know.
I just want clarification too. I'm on that string, and I'm not sure where it's going. So I thought maybe you had a little bit more insight.
No.
Okay.
Do we have an attorney's report?
Not tonight, Mayor.
Okay, so we are going to have an executive session.
Mayor.
Yes.
Do we have to have an executive session? I mean, I personally feel with the Zoom meetings and the surroundings that we are in, it's not exactly the setting that we need for an executive session if we are discussing things that are just for council ears only. Being in the environments we are in our home, there's a lot of room and air for information to be shared. I would feel more comfortable in an executive session in an area like in our council chambers with executive sessions. That's my feeling on that. Okay. Unless the executive session is necessary at this time, which I don't believe it is, if I remember correctly, but.
Well, Mr. Linehan did send everybody an email about what it was going to be about, but if you would, you can have a consensus that you don't want to have the executive session and you just want to, you can have a conversation with Mr. Linehan, or he can email a couple of you at a time if you have questions, or you can call him, whatever, if you prefer not to have it. Councilmember Deedy.
So I agree with Councilmember Oldsby. I think that it's best if we just send David or email with our questions and have him answer that way, or even a phone call to our attorney would be a better situation, I think.
Okay.
I agree.
How about the rest of you? Do you agree to just have an exchange with the attorney?
That's fair.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
Then we'll not have an executive session today. We were going to test out breakout rooms, but I got to break today, so I know it works, but we don't have to. So we'll just go ahead and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.